Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will be going to your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. If you haven't done so already, you may want to take an opportunity to write down our contact information on the web. It is equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our wonderful resource consultants is always standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, I'll be going to your calls in just a few moments, 888-ASK-HANK, but I wanted to talk about the silent Holocaust in our midst for just a moment or so. I think back to a couple of years ago, 2015, where undercover videos apparently demonstrate beyond the peradventure of a doubt that Planned Parenthood engaged in the gruesome process of harvesting aborted preborn baby parts and then selling them to, well, experimentation laboratories as a lucrative money-making endeavor. So, you would immediately think that Planned Parenthood would be in deep, deep trouble as a result of the exposé. But instead, think about the present. The undercover investigators now, I just read about this today, they're the ones being charged. And Planned Parenthood looks to be largely exonerated. This has been aptly likened to an investigative journalist posing as a drug dealer to expose, well, some notorious drug lords. But as a result, the journalist is indicted and the drug lord is being subsidized. I think it's fair to say that 60 Minutes and many other mainstream journalistic outlets have long specialized in undercover investigations, and they are roundly praised for their exposés. But not in this case. National Review's David French was right when he said, it's becoming increasingly clear that in states such as California, the right to abort a child is the chief liberty in the land, and all other liberties must bow before this liberty. I've written about this in a number of different resources, including the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. It is available through the ministry, the Christian Research Institute, for those who support the ministry. And for those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. Just as I walked into the studio, I personalized one to Carlos. He's giving $50 a month. He lives in Illinois. Another to Jeff in Texas. He's giving $100 a month, but others give $35 a month. Whatever the amount, of course, is between you and the Holy Spirit, we're just asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Well, a lot of you hanging on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Katie in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Vought Radio. Hi, Katie.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I wanted to thank you for yesterday's opening statement. Shout out to you and your whole team. I really love that.
Thank you.
My question is more of a statement I would like you to speak on. I know several Christians who have been Christians, you know, longer than I've been alive. I'm 25, and they've been in the church for decades. And they read all of these extra-biblical books like commentaries and devotionals, but they haven't even read the Bible. you know, I bring up certain books of the Bible and they've never even read them. Could you speak on that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's incredibly significant to point out, as you just did, that there's a level of biblical illiteracy in the land because people are reading about the Bible, but not reading the Bible itself. And at the face of it, you think about the reality that this is the most read book in the history of the entire world. It's been translated into more languages, published in more volumes than any other book in history. And yet today, people don't get into the Word of God. And even worse, I think, Katie, they don't get the Word of God into them. And I think there are so many wonderful ways in which you can do that today. For example, whenever I'm in my car, I'm inevitably listening to the Bible on CD. And the Bible on CD is in audio theater. So it is theater for the mind. It is absolutely exhilarating. And I've been teaching the Bible and talking about the Bible, answering questions about the Bible for over 30 years, long over for 30 years, actually. And yet I'm constantly learning something new. So the point that you underscore is doubly troubling in the fact that we live in an epoch of time in which we have Bibles available not only in written formats, but many other formats as well.
Yeah, thank you, because it's really disturbing, because I'll bring something up and I'm talking to people who are over double my age and have been in the church, like I said, longer than I've even been alive, and they don't even know what I'm talking about, you know, and to me it would be common knowledge because it's in the Bible so many times. It's just frustrating.
Well, it is frustrating. Well, you know, what we're trying to do at the Christian Research Institute is give people lots of options in terms of how they engage with the Bible. One of them, by the way, we were promoting a month or so ago, called The Word of God. And this is a production by Carl Amari, a friend of mine. He's a movie producer who is using the best talent available to present you audio theater of the mind. And it's fun to listen to, because as Paul is writing his epistles, you can almost see him at work. You hear him cough in the background. You hear the quill contact the parchment. And as you listen, you're engaged in it. And I love the spoken word so much. Oftentimes when I preach in churches around the country, I start out by quoting a chapter from the Bible, and I do it in sort of a way that people don't even know that I'm quoting the Bible. And people are so impressed by the words as they hear them, not just see them on the page, but hear them spoken out. So again, all of that underscores the reality that we live in a wonderful time in which the Bible is available in masses, but the masses are excusing themselves from the most precious thing of all, and that is the Word of God.
Yes, well, thank you again, and thank you for all your team and everything that you do. You have a great day.
Thanks, Katie. I go back to the phone lines now, talk to George in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. I have kind of a long question for you regarding the nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've been reading, it seems like there's two views, one that says that the soul and the spirit are the same thing, and it's true that they're often used interchangeably in Scripture, and then view two says that the soul and spirit are two separate things, and only a couple of verses in Scripture seem to speak of it in this way. And then, to push it a little further, I've heard Bible teachers say that the soul is the seat of the emotions, the senses, and the personality, whereas the spirit is only part, the only part that connects with God. And that would seem to mean to me that the unregenerate people would have a soul that's alive, but their spirit only is dead to God, which would seem to support the second position, that the soul and the spirit are two separate things. And then to compound the problem even more, I've heard some say that the mind is a separate thing from the body, soul, or spirit. So that's a lot to throw at you, I know, but I'd like to hear what you've got to say about that.
Yeah, well, good question, and it underscores one of the core values of the Christian Research Institute, which is that what we teach here ultimately reduces to what C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity, another way of putting that is an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. So when you look at a situation like the one you just described, you have people who are what are called dichotomous, who believe that we're body-soul unities, and that when the body dies, the soul is in the presence of the Lord. And then there are trichotomists that, as you have rightly articulated in the prologue to your question, that there are two essential components of the non-material aspect of humanity. And what I like to say is that this is a debate that we can have vigorously on the basis of the biblical text. And I love the way you couched the question. You made clear that there seems to be more support for one position than for the other position. However, again, I say this is a secondary issue because ultimately we have, in a sense, a part of us that relates to God. We're created in the image and likeness of God, the Imago Dei, and so there is a part of the immaterial aspect of humanity that relates to God, that enjoys fellowship in the Trinity. There's also a part of humanity that relates to that which God has created. So I oftentimes come down on this saying that I live here in the world of antinomy. I'm not absolutely sure of what the right position is. I have brilliant friends on one side of the issue and brilliant friends on the other side of the issue. I personally have taught and held the dichotomist position. I originally held this because I saw so much abuse within the charismatic and Pentecostal circles with the trichotomist idea. The way in which they use this is that there is information that can bypass the mind and go directly into the spirit man. And therefore, they didn't have to understand what they were saying, and what they were saying didn't even have to be correct because it is understood by the spirit man. And so there are all kinds of abuses as a result of that, and I think that probably early on colored my thinking in this regard. But in later years, I've run into people who are trichotomists who genuinely experience or communicate the trichotomist view in a way that I would say is very God-honoring. So I'm sorry I'm obfuscating a little bit here, but it is because I'm not absolutely certain where to come down on this at this point.
Could you elaborate just a little bit more on the trichotomy position?
Yeah, so, if you go to passages like Hebrews chapter 4, I think it is, there's a distinction between the soul and spirit in that the distinction is between that which relates to creation, that being the soul, and that which relates to the creator, being the spirit. And thus, the soul and spirit are said to be two separate parts of the immaterial aspect of humanity. Now, what I have typically said is that the soul and the spirit are two functions within the immaterial aspect of humanity as opposed to two separate components of man's being. And likewise, in, I think it's Mark 12, we are told to love God with our heart, mind, and strength. And this is not three separate components of man's being, but rather three distinguishable aspects of human nature. Again, I'm simply pointing out how I have reasoned this in the past, and I'm not absolutely certain I'm correct in this position.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That helps.
You got it. Thank you very much for your call. I don't have time to go to another call right now, but we will be going back to your calls on the other side of the break. So again, you can call 888 to ask Hank. But I want to mention my daily e-truth is just one of the ways in which we answer questions for people. The daily email answers your questions in clear, concise prose. And these are answers to some of the most common and complex questions that I've been asked. If you want to subscribe, and I think you do, all you have to do is go to equip.org and sign up right there on the homepage. Again, equip.org. Also, the Equip app. I should be talking about this every single day. It is just one of the most unbelievable resource. I have people coming up to me all the time. Say, I listen to the Bible Answers Man broadcast on my smartphone. And I love the fact that it is very maneuverable. I can listen to archived broadcasts, and I can read all kinds of well-researched articles. Oftentimes, those articles come directly from the Christian Research Journal and other publications, including our newsletter. You can also give in a safe, secure fashion on the Equip app. So if you want your Equip app on your smartphone, all you have to do is go to equip.org/app. It's absolutely free. Download CRI's Equip app. While you're on the website, I just mentioned the CRI Journal. It is our subscription magazine. If you haven't taken a look at it, do take an opportunity to look at it. It's an award-winning magazine that I think that no Christian home should be without. The newsletter, of course, is free of charge, and you can subscribe online at equip.org for the newsletter as well. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
In his prophetic book, The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis forewarned that silencing moral language, subduing moral emotions, and subjecting humanity to moral and eugenic manipulations would bring disaster and death. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal looks at Lewis's warnings with a view toward the solution of not merely rejecting moral subjectivism, but also learning to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. Don't miss Adam C. Peltzer's article, The Abolition of Man, today in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audio book on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Lois. She's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Lois.
Hi. Hank, I just wanted to call and tell you about the, I got the Bible, you know, the New Testament, New Testament, the Word of God, and it was just wonderful.
Thank you for saying that.
I was listening to Hebrews the day before yesterday, and the room just filled with the glory of God.
Oh.
And the Lord told me to tell you.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, I've been doing the exact same thing, just listening to the Bible on tape, and I just love it. I oftentimes can't wait to get in my car because that's my sanctuary, and I wish my drive was a little longer sometimes.
Well, it's sure been wonderful.
Thank you for calling and sharing that with us. And of course, Lois is talking about the Word of God. It is audio theater for the mind, and we make that available for people who want to support the ministry, stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Randy next in Nashville, Tennessee. Randy's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Deeply appreciate your ministry. I was listening to a show last night, Mysteries of the Bible, and they were talking about they had found a letter from Paul, supposedly, that it was called the Apocalypse of Paul, which spoke of heaven and hell, his version of it. And I was wondering if this was true or this was just something that somebody's made up to make some money.
Not to make some money, but I mean, I can't judge the motive. But this is a third century pseudepigraphal writing. In other words, this is writing under a false name. And as you point out, it does claim a vision from heaven and hell experienced by the Apostle Paul. All of this derives from the Nag Hammadi Library. It's a collection of 13 ancient books. Containing many, many texts, over 50 different texts. This was discovered in Upper Egypt back in 1945, 5 years before I was born. And most of what you have there is the Gnostic Gospels. And so these are false Gospels. They do not correspond to reality, and they don't correspond to a biblical worldview. You know, one of the things that's fantastic is, as believers, we have not only a written tradition, but we also have an oral tradition. So we have a tradition that is carried on from the apostles through people like Ignatius of Antioch or Polycarp or Irenaeus or Athanasius. So we have a unbroken tradition that is in concert one with the other. And so we can test these things in light of Scripture and hold fast to what is good and know that the Gnostic Gospels are Gospels that are anything but consistent with a biblical worldview, particularly in the way in which they treat women. They treat women in a very patriarchal fashion, completely unlike what you have in the Scriptures. Of course, the real Apostle Paul said, he heard inexpressible things with respect to going to the third heaven. And then he said that he was not permitted to tell. So the scripture tells us that the things that Paul experienced, he was not permitted to tell. Then you have these Gnostic Gospels that do precisely the opposite.
I see. Thank you for clearing that up for me. Could I ask you one more question?
Please? Yeah, go for it.
But I ask you to pray for me. I am 59 years old. I've been saved. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. I've been struggling with alcohol and drug addiction all my life. And every time that I seem like I'm going to succeed, he sends somebody, to bring a drug or whatever in my life.
Hmm. Well, I can pray for you, Randy.
Pardon?
Yeah, I can.
To AA meeting and all that, and it doesn't help, but.
Well, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the miracle of technology, the fact that Randy and I are connecting, even though we're apart, and that many people are listening in that will join in this prayer for Randy. Oh, Lord, as he is captured by a seemingly unbreakable addiction, we know you can do all things. And Lord, I pray that you will bring people and circumstances into Randy's life so that he might come to a true valuation of things, so that the addictions he now has will be replaced by something far more glorious. May he experience an alternate reality through fellowship in the Trinity that makes everything else seem insignificant by comparison. And so, Lord, we bring Randy into your presence and ask you, Lord, right now, that you will do that which is unthinkable, that you will break the addiction. And Lord, I pray that he would make himself accountable within the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, so that he does not walk this road alone, so that when he falls, someone is there to help pick him up. And Lord, make Randy a testimony to your grace. We pray this not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. We'll keep you in our prayers, Randy.
Thank you, Ike.
You got it. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Debbie. She's listening in Kansas City. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Hank. Hey, I have a question about the Eucharist or communion. I've been going to a church for the last 6 months, and I believe in everything it stands for. I believe in its mission. It believes that, you know, Christ was born from a virgin. He is God. He rose, you know, died and rose again. But they do communion every single week, and they don't discuss what it's for. And the churches I've been in the past, they tell you ahead of time so you can prepare and examine your heart. And like I said, they do this every single week, and if they don't pass it around, they have it up against a wall, and you take it kind of like you're leaving like a buffet. And I just don't know if, given everything else, I believe that they're, you know, what they're saying. This really bothers me, and I don't know if it's something that it's powerful enough that I should leave and look for another church.
Well, two things. One thing, I think it's wonderful that they have communion every week, but the second point in concert with what you're saying is that when you have communion, it is not sacrament isolated from word. There has to be an explanation in terms of what is going on. So there has to be, as it were, a prologue to the communion itself, because you're absolutely right. When you take the holy elements, when you partake of Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper or the Eucharist, it's known by various monikers. When you do that, it is a very serious matter, and that is not conjecture on anybody's part. I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is very plain in this regard. Don't take communion in an unworthy manner, because if you do, it's actually destructive to you in a believer. You have to prepare your heart for communion. And quite frankly, have to live a life that is consistent with your belief with respect to communion. As far as taking it by yourself, I mean, going to the back of the sanctuary and there's a jug there for you and you just participate. No, this communion by its very nature is about community. So it's not about rugged individualism. It is about partaking of the real presence of Christ within the context of community. You cannot separate this by isolating it to the back of the room. I think that's a serious mistake. I do think, however, that just as we eat on a regular basis in terms of natural food, we ought to partake on a regular basis of the manna from heaven, as it were, or spiritual food.
So is it something that I should, you know, as you say, separate myself? Is it that?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of things that I would do. The first is with gentleness and with respect, talk to the leading ones in that particular church and say, this bothers you because of the solemnity of the Eucharist, because this is a very solemn occasion, that this is not something to be trifled with. And then I would, if I were you, be able to give maybe a good historical way of explaining that. For example, Luther talked about this in a Christmas sermon, and he expressed the fact that Christ's real presence is active in the Eucharist and therefore warns people from taking communion in an unworthy manner. I mean, we think about this, Luther said, word became flesh so that flesh might become word. He wasn't talking about becoming what God is in his incommunicable attributes or his essence, but he was talking about partaking of his energies. And this is serious stuff. I mean, we think about this even by way of analogy. You think about standing out in the sun for 5 hours, especially if you're from Scandinavian descent. I was born in Holland. And you just stand without any suntan lotion on or any kind of protection on your skin. You stand there for 5 hours and your face is going to be throbbing red because the rays of the sun are going to impact you in a dynamic fashion. How much more so when you think about the energies of God impacting you through the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And again, when I'm talking about the energies of God, I'm talking about the fact that we cannot experience God in His essence. In His essence, He's unknowable, but we can in His graces. And this is one of the chief graces that is dispensed to the body of Christ within the context of the church, and we ought to take it with great seriousness. So, yeah, talk to those in leadership with gentleness and with respect, and then you have to follow your conscience. To not do that is neither safe nor proper, as Luther put it. We'll be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
C.S. Lewis once said, "Good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason, because bad philosophy needs to be answered." These words are more relevant than ever in our post-truth culture, which is unable to diagnose sin for lack of a Christian worldview. The article, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, by Donald T. Williams, shows why throwing down our weapons is betrayal, in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Beware of false knowledge, said George Bernard Shaw. It is more dangerous than ignorance. In our increasingly secular and politically correct society, where fake knowledge has had a long-running start on fake news, the value we should place on knowing and speaking truth and love has never been greater. To equip you to know, feel, and speak truth and love, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal features a fresh look at the work of C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from author Noni Darwish. She wrote a book called Cruel and Unusual Punishment. She's an Egyptian-born author, and she's explaining in this quote what it is like to grow up in Egypt under Sharia. Here's the quote of the day. For the first 30 years of my life, I lived as a virtual slave. I was a bird in a cage, a second-class citizen who had to watch what I said even to my close friends. Under Islamic law, I had to live in a gender-segregated environment and always be aware that the legal and social penalty for sin, well, could end my life. The quote of the day, again, by Noni Darwish. It's one of the quotes in my upcoming book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Laura in Seattle, Washington. Laura's listening on KCIS. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I am calling because of what you said about Sharia law, and I was wondering, for myself and for others who are listening, is there any way, as a woman living in America today, that we can read up on Sharia law? Not a book and a woman's testimony, but just really, like, we can look at the Ten Commandments, or we can look at the Constitution of the United States. Where would American women get their hands on this Sharia law, where they give men permission to treat women in the ways that you're speaking of? Because, you know, I've been told, and of course I need to take a trip out to Dearborn, Michigan, but what I've been told is that that is a city within the United States of America that is basically, from what I hear, all Muslims have kind of migrated or immigrated here from, you know, wherever they've come from, but they've chosen to live under Sharia law in that one particular city. And apparently, therefore, then all the women that live in Dearborn, Michigan, is under Sharia law. And my concern is that there are women in America that are living under Sharia law that is, you know, I mean, it's almost like a law above our law. If they have to adhere to, you know, it's okay to be abused by a man, but then by our American standards, that's not okay. But if they're under Sharia law, you know, we need to know if that law is above our law. And is it true that people are actually living that way in our American society? It's interesting to think that because that they look at it as religion and freedom of religion, that it could usurp our laws of our country. And so I'm curious as to where, you know, women of America can get their hands on this material to
sure.
learn more about Sharia law, because, you know, we do have feminist movements in our country, and women want to be protected. Especially in this day and age when, you know, women, you know, all we ask is that they're paid the same amount of money as men in the workforce, you know, but to think that Sharia law could come into our country and basically be putting women under men would be unheard of, but yet we hear it's happening.
Well, you know, it's really interesting about that, and I actually mentioned this in the opening to the broadcast today, that progressives like the former president of the United States, Barack Obama, speak with soaring rhetoric about Sharia and the proud tradition of tolerance that you find in Islam, and then goes on to warn Westerners against impeding Muslim citizens from practicing, and his words are, religion as they see fit. And that's why I alluded to Ayan Hirsi Ali, who wrote a chapter in one of her books. It was titled Shackled by Sharia. And this explains the horror of Sharia for women. And let me parenthetically say that in Sharia law, there is no distinction between Sharia and state. Sharia is state, and state is Sharia. But going back to Ali, she says, women are considered under the code to be worth at most half a man. Sharia subordinates women to men in a multitude of ways. The requirement of guardianship by men, the right of men to beat their wives, the right of men to have unfettered sexual access to their wives, the right of men to practice polygamy, and the restriction of women's legal rights in divorce cases, in estate law, in cases of rape, in court testimony, and in consent to marriage. Sharia even states that women are considered naked of any part of their body is showing except for their face and hands, while a man is considered naked only between his navel and his knees. Now, to your question, I mean, I just quoted a woman who grew up in an Islamic context, so she knows full well, firsthand, the draconian impact of Sharia law. But you're asking, how can you know this for yourself as opposed to hearing it from Ali or Noni Darwish or from me or anybody else? Well, the answer to that is you can pick up a copy of The Reliance of the Traveler, which is a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. And there's not only the manual itself, what gives you the law, Sharia law, and there are different schools of Sharia law, but this is a classic manual that is referred to over and over again. And Sharia has differences, but they're not significant differences overall. But this, you can go to, there's commentary. It's eminently readable. I spent a lot of time in this book when I was writing my book, so that this is not secondhand or thirdhand or considered an unreliable, unverified, unsubstantiated source, but quite the opposite.
Okay. And who is that written by, The Reliance of the Traveler?
Let me spell it for you. There's four names. The last name is Keller, and then it's Nuhahmim. And then again, the last name, Keller.
And Keller is spelled K-E-L-L-E-R?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Well, thank you. I just, you know, I really wanted people to be able to get their hands and read this for themselves. And, yeah, we really, especially the women in America, need to think of this as a law, you know, because we're not talking religion here. Where we are a country of freedom of religion, which would basically believe that it would be okay. But when you start talking about abuse and the laws that we've created in our country to protect people, those are laws. And so there has to be an area there that it crosses over from being religion and law.
Well, you know that's a brilliant observation.
Religion is legal under the United States of America.
That's a brilliant observation on your part. Let me say this. So many people think of Islam as a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word, but it isn't. I mean, it is ultimately a religio-economic political system that rides on the rails of Sharia. So I do think it's important for people to get some kind of an idea of what is mandated under Sharia. And when I'm talking about this, I'm not only talking about reading translations, but talking to people in countries that are even Muslim theocracies, including when I spoke at the University of Tehran in Iran, as well as Alamut Tibetaba, their sociology university. Now, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Tim next. He's listening in Reidsville, North Carolina. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Hank. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Hank, my question is, once we are born again, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Well, that is correct.
Isn't it, it seems like it's not scriptural to refer to ourselves as sinners anymore. We may sin, but we're not sinners any longer, right?
Well, we can legitimately refer to ourselves as saints, because in the New Testament, saint is the most frequent or common term for one who believes in Jesus Christ. The saints are the church. We read in, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but other passages like Ephesians chapter 1, and there are many, many, many different places in the New Testament, but you also find this in places like Psalm 85 in the Old Testament. So the idea of saint seems synonymous with the people of God, but I think you're making a proper clarification. We are set apart. We are the people of God, but though we can legitimately use that terminology on the basis of not only written tradition, but a oral tradition as well, we are most definitely sinners. We continue to sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And our sins are not only sins of commission, in other words, we're doing something we should not do, but they're also sins of omission. We're failing to do that which we are called to do. So again, this is why it is so critical for us to daily confess our sins, knowing, as the Apostle John said in 1 John 1, knowing that he's faithful and just, he will forgive us of our sins and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, I understand, you know, if we do sin, but we are not, the way I read the scripture, we are not sinners any longer, but we may sin.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that semantical difference, quite frankly. I mean, I am a sinner. I am likewise a saint. But the fact of the matter is, I am a sinner. I am a set-apart sinner. I'm being sanctified as a sinner. But I am most certainly a sinner. And Paul, in fact, in Romans chapter 7, calls himself the chief of sinners. And I think that the closer you come to the brilliance of God's righteousness and holiness, the more you see just how sinful you really are. I oftentimes liken it to getting out in the sun. You know, when I'm in a sort of semi-dark room, I look wonderful. You get into the harsh light of the sun, every flaw in my skin is exposed. And I think in the same way, the closer you get, again, to God and His holiness, and you start to see yourself in that contrast, as Paul did, well, then you cry out with the prophet Isaiah, "Oh, wretched man that I am, not only, but oh, woe is me, who can save me? I am undone." You know, you think about the holiest man in Israel speaking like this. So we're most definitely set apart as saints, but we are most certainly sinners as well. We sin every single day. It defines us, and that's why we must continually confess our sins. Out of time, sorry for those hanging on, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back next week with more live broadcast right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, thank you for standing with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. What you do and standing with us makes a difference not only for time, but also for eternity. Again, so long for now. Look forward to seeing you again next week right here.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book
or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.